You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So we are wrapping up the third edition of our Heroes series, which means today, if I did my math correctly, this is the 8 times 3. This is the 24th hero that we're looking at today. And it's great, again, if Justin pointed out, if you're not here, there's some really incredible costumes. Some people went way out, way over the top, and it's awesome. And I just wanted you to know, I've been working very hard for my costume. I've been growing this strand of hair for the last 3 years. I've been wearing a bald cap, so you didn't notice it. And I was telling Trent earlier, you can't imagine the kind of drugs that I had to take to make this grow. So I actually have a third arm that I keep tucked back here. That grew too. Like, it's just weird. I got all sorts. We are wrapping this series up. And as I don't know if we actually mentioned it, but Ignition Kids are in here in the building. They're all in the building, but they're in the room because we're giving our teachers a break. In 2 weeks, we will launch with our 15 Further series, which is actually a special 3 month long. We've never done 3 months before. 3 month long series celebrating our 15th year anniversary as a church. So Ignition will resume in 2 weeks. Next week, as you already heard from Justin, is the picnic. So don't forget to sign up. There are some things needed out there for next week's picnic at Greenwood. If you don't have the notes, you can grab the YouVersion page there and you should already have gotten a notification. If you're, following MC3 on YouVersion, you should have gotten your notification a while ago with the notes. Anyway, so because Ignition is here, I want to kind of keep them involved. So could all of the Ignition kids, why don't you turn on the house lights there, all the Ignition kids come and join me on stage. So if you are in kindergarten through fifth grade, if you're about to enter kindergarten through fifth grade, you can come on up here and join me because I'm going to need your help. All right, we got some serious heroes going on, looking great. All right, excellent, excellent. And the hero called the cheerleader from the series called Heroes can't get more direct than that. All right. Is this everybody? Everybody in Ignition age? All right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There we go. She just can't see. Okay. All right. Excellent. Excellent. So, all right. We got some Baymax there. All right. You got some great costumes. Amy, you're back there. We need someone to take pictures of these guys because the Canouses are not here this week. But anyway, so if someone can take pictures, that would be awesome. But I'm going to need your help, okay? So why don't you look at me for a second? And I'm going to give you guys a listening challenge. So I'm going to ask a question to you, okay? And then I'm going to ask a question to them. So first of all, my question to you is, are you really good listeners? Okay, moms and dads, they all just said yes. So are they really good listeners? Okay, no, not so great. All right, well, that's okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a listening quiz, and I need each of you to take a marker, and you can take an eraser if you want. So there's markers, and then each of you are going to need one of these boards. All right, can you help hand them out here? Would you want to hand them out to everybody, Paisley? All right, oops, got them. All right, here's an eraser. Do you have a marker? You need a board. Do you have an eraser and a marker? Everyone needs an eraser, a marker, and a board. There's an eraser. Okay, here's... All right, she's got the boards there. There's your eraser, marker. You have a, and then you need, do you have a board? What do we need here? You need an eraser. You have a marker. All right, well, you need a board. Okay, all right. Wonder Woman. Okay, all right, so everybody has an eraser, marker, and board. You with me? Okay, why don't you guys sit down in the front like we've done the last few weeks? That way you have somewhere to lean. And what we're going to do is I'm going to play, can you guys shift to the left a little bit so we can fit Paisley in here? Squeeze down there a little bit more. All right. Can you get in there, Paisley? Okay, one way or another. Here, Mason, why don't you come over this way? Wait, which way? That way? Okay. All right. Okay, so here's the deal. Now you can look at me. You have those dry erase boards so that you can take notes. Okay? Taking notes. Because I'm going to play a 3 minute long clip. And it is the sound, okay? And I'm going to ask you some questions, a quiz, based on... I was like, where did you get up here? I didn't... You took that... Okay. Sorry, I'm a little slow. It's 3 minutes long, and parents and families, everybody out here, you can play at home, you know, like in your seat. And if you're online and watching at home, you can actually play at home too. But I'm going to give a quiz based on some of the things that you hear in this audio clip. Does that make sense? So just as a hint, it's probably going to involve some counting. So if you want to write things down just to take notes as you're listening, and then I'm going to give you a quiz afterwards. Does that make sense? So do your best. All right, and we're going to make sure the audio is good there. We got that loud enough. And all right, go ahead. Bring him. Go ahead and click on that. Okay, 3 minutes is a long time. I actually was joking. I have a 30-minute clip, and I thought maybe I did pick the 30-minute clip. All right, guys, I'm going to come down front, so hopefully no feedback. All right, so I'm going to ask you some questions about that, and you guys can pay attention too. So, and this is, there's no right or wrong, well, there are right or wrong answers, but you don't need to write them down, I guess is what I'm saying. So that's just your notes for yourself. Okay, so first question, where were we? Where was that sound? A city? You guys agree? City? Yeah, good, excellent. Yep, it was a city. Okay, were there people there? Yeah. How about we start with the kids and then we go to the older people? Were there people there? Probably, yeah. You heard people talking? Very good, okay. Did you hear, was there a train there? No, there wasn't a train. Not that we could tell, anyway. So, there were people there, right? How many of them were wearing sneakers? Not really a way to tell, okay. Anybody else have an answer? A lot? No way to tell? Okay, let me ask you this. How many people were wearing boots or high heels? If you listen carefully, there was at least one person wearing boots or high heels because you could hear their feet clicking as they walked down the sidewalk. Okay, were there sirens? Yes, okay, you heard sirens. How many? I got a lot. I got two. Any other votes there? Yeah. One. Okay. What do you guys think?
Three.
Three or four? Okay. The answer, the technical answer is two. Because the one siren was the same one just passing by in a different direction. But, yeah, so there were two sirens. Okay, was there a bus? Yes. Why? Do you know why? It wasn't even the honking. You could, if you listen carefully, you could hear the door of a bus open where passengers get in. Anybody else hear that? Yeah, you heard that? Okay, good. All right, let's see. Was there a truck? Yes. Okay. Why? How did you know there was a truck? Because of the honking. Okay. Here's the question. Did you guys hear the truck honking? Yes? No? Yes? With me? Did you guys hear the truck honking? Okay. How many horn beeps did the truck beep? You got three? Four? Yeah? Three? Anybody out there? How many horn beeps? The singular truck, it was two. It went, meep, meep. Yep, there were two. Yeah, you're wrong, son. Okay, did you guys hear car horns? Yes, okay. How many different car horns were there? We're not talking like the total number of beeps like the truck. No guesses. Anybody out here, how many cars did you hear? The answer is five. There was one right at the beginning, so you probably weren't even thinking about paying attention yet, and there was one right at the end. So there were five car horns. How about motorcycles? Were there any motorcycles there? Yeah, you got a motorcycle? Okay. How many were there? All right, two, yeah. Four. Anybody out here? There were two motorcycles that were speeding by. Did you guys notice anything else? Because that's the end of my quiz. Did you notice anything else? Yeah. Singing. Okay. All right. Maybe someone could be heard. There was a fire. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah. Wind. Okay. How many of you guys heard wind? Had some blow. Yeah. There's some wind. Anything else did you hear there? Yeah. Talking. Yeah. And I tried to listen really closely to what the people say, and I couldn't hear it. Because I wanted to ask you what they were talking about. Yeah, what else did you hear? Water noises? You say water? Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Right, cars splashing. Good call. Good answer. Anything else? Motors? A lot of motors? Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thank you guys for your help, because this morning we're going to be talking about listening and what it means to really pay attention and hearing what is going on. So you can just leave your boards so we don't waste time. Why don't you just set them right where you're sitting, and you guys can go have a seat. And why don't you guys give it up for our wonderful helpers here. Thank you all very much. You don't want to lose your face, Baymax. So this morning, we are talking about listening. I need to take this off. My head is not used to... Oh, no. And I'm also wearing contacts and glasses, which some would frown upon, but I can see things very clearly. What am I talking about? I'm talking about listening. That's what I'm talking about. So we're going to be talking about our final hero today. His name is Philip. And go ahead and actually, Amy, can you pull me back a little bit? we're going to be talking about Philip, and we'll talk about him in a moment. But the point today, as we wrap up this series, is Philip perfectly positioned by a life of awareness. Because we're going to see that Philip listened to God, and it actually worked out to be some incredible things that God did. And so this morning we're going to be focusing on what does that mean to listen to God, and how do we do that, and how does it work out? Just to kind of set you up, we're going to be talking about hearing is believing. Perhaps you've Notice the phrase, seeing is believing, but hearing is believing. And just to catch you up where we've been with this, when it comes to the story series, which we did last winter, this is taking place from the story. It's in what we called chapter 11, congregation, which was the beginning of the church. And so in that part of the story series, congregation was the church where we talked about, what did we talk about first? It was Peter. Yeah, Peter and Pentecost. And then it was Philip and persecution. So if you remember that series, this is where it fits into the story at the beginning of the church. Because all the other heroes that I've been talking about over the last few weeks have been Old Testament. Now we're jumping into the New Testament. And we're going to be in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8. But before we get into today's actual passage, I want to offer just a quick clarification. And it's a clarification because I want to clarify that the Philip we're talking about this morning is not the Philip who was one of the disciples. So if you know the old disciple song about the different, the 12 disciples, Philip and his brother was Nathanael. This that we're going to be talking about today, his name is he was called Philip the Evangelist, is not the same guy. He's not the same Philip. So it's really important that when you, when you read through your Bible, you can't just automatically assume, I know that name. I mean, it'd be like, there's a bunch of different people with similar names around here. You know, how many people do you know named John, right? You can't just assume the same name. So, I mean, there's multiple Thomases in the room. There's multiple Thomas Fs in the room. And that's very, especially when there's four people that mow at the building, and two of them are Thomas F. And I've seen multiple Thomas Fs at the building preparing to mow, not really realizing that it's the other Thomas F that's supposed to mow that day. So anyway, you can't just assume that. So I just want to clarify that this is a different Philip. And as you remember, one of the guys, the heroes I talked about a few weeks back was Nathan, who is not to be confused with Philip's brother, the disciple, Nathanael, different people. So this Philip, he was called Philip the Evangelist. And just to help clarify that, the original Philip, one of the disciples, the brother of Nathanael, they were also called apostles. And what made an apostle different than a disciple was that an apostle was actually met Jesus in person. So we are disciples of Jesus, but we haven't seen the physical presence of Jesus. And that's kind of distinction between the apostles and the rest of the disciples, why there were 12 apostles. And then we lost Judas, and then we gained Matthias. But anyway, the reason is in Acts chapter 6, which this is a passage that we've talked about before, and we actually talked about it in our Churchianity 101 series about how the church is designed. And so what's going on in Acts chapter 6? There were these different groups of people, and some of them were getting overlooked for food. The church was giving food to people, helping them out, and some people were getting it and some people weren't. And there was all this confusion, and they're like, there's not enough time, what are we going to do here? And it says, so the 12, meaning the 12 apostles, and Philip was one of those 12, Philip the apostle was one of those, a meeting of all the believers. And again, this is very early church. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. So these guys, these 12 apostles, Philip being one of them, Philip the disciple, says we need to appoint 7 people. And it says we will give them this responsibility. So them, but then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. So everyone liked this idea. So they, the 12, chose 7. And here are some of the people they chose. Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles. So you had a Philip over here saying we need to, one of the 12 choosing one of the 7 over here. So there's another Philip that's over here. And actually this Stephen guy ends up shortly, like next few verses here, shares, gets called out in front of the Jewish people, shares Jesus with them, and then they stone him to death. And his speech was a series we did called The Speech, and you can find that on our slideshow loop. But he went through just this amazing overview of what, how Judaism, how the Old Testament ties into who Jesus is. And so he's killed, which then brings us to the beginning of Acts chapter 8. And there's this huge problem. And Acts chapter 8, There we go, next slide. There we go. And the issue is that when Stephen was killed, Saul, which is a whole other story, was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. So it says a great wave of persecution began that day. And this scattered people all across the known world, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. And all the believers, except the apostles, were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. And one of these guys is named Philip, and he ends up going to Samaria. So again, just to clarify that this is a different Philip than that one. And it's just kind of wild because it really, if you think it's the same guy, it really gets confusing. So that was my clarification. We see three things with Philip. And we see when it comes to this idea of listening to God and hearing God. And of course, you know, in that little experiment, I think for all of you, frankly, if that audio clip was just playing in the background, you probably wouldn't have noticed anything. Maybe go like, yeah, I guess it was a city. But because I said there's going to be a quiz, suddenly we're listening. We're listening because there's a quiz. We're paying attention. And when it comes to listening to God, there are some things that we need to do. And we're going to see Philip and what he did first and then how that applies to us. But the first thing is that Philip heard from God. And I also just want you to know that as you're like, whoa, I don't get this. How is this going to work? I'm okay with that being a little uncomfortable there because we're going to get to that in a second. But the first thing is he heard from God. And here's where we start in our actual passage today. Starts in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And it says, an angel of the Lord. So we need to stop right there. So, first of all, the word angel, the Greek word is angelos. And the word literally means messenger. So often the New Testament would translate angelos as it's just written, which is angel. And so Saturday. People get mail on Saturday, yeah. So, like, unless it's a postal holiday, an angelos probably came to your house and delivered the mail yesterday. An angel came. And because that's what an angel is. They're simply a messenger. And now they drive that, like, little Tykes truck. Have you seen that thing driving around? It looks like the little toy you used to ride as a kid. Or something out of, like, it drove off the monorail at Walt Disney World. Anyway, it's weird. There's a weird-looking mail truck going on out there. Anyway, but that's what the word means. And so this is important because what is being written here, and Luke wrote Acts, he's saying that a messenger from the Lord came to speak to Philip. And we're going to find out in a little bit that that messenger wasn't an angel with wings, which isn't even in the Bible. That messenger was the Holy Spirit. So God's Holy Spirit spoke to Philip. And so that's important because if you're looking for an angel to show up and tell you something, you're probably not going to have that experience. But if you're listening for a messenger from God, a messenger from the Lord, if you're waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell you something, now you're in a different category. Anyway, so this messenger says to Philip, go south to the desert road, he said. It's the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And we're going to talk about this road in a moment, but not quite yet. So the messenger of the Lord tells Philip to go. And we see that Philip started out. So he hears from God. He heard from God and he obeyed. And then it goes on. It says, on his way, he met an Ethiopian official. And we'll talk about his title in a moment. The man had an important position in charge of all the wealth of the Kandake. Your translation, now if you're following the YouVersion notes, we have NIRV. But other versions will say Candace, C-A-N-D-A-C-E, which most likely was not the queen's name. It was her title. It was a Kandake, just like Pharaoh wasn't Pharaoh's name. Pharaoh was his title. And again, if you grew up in church, you probably, at least I did, I assumed Pharaoh was the dude's name. But Pharaoh was the title, and there were multiple pharaohs. Well, in the leadership of Ethiopia, there were multiple Kandakes. And so this woman was a Kandake, and it means queen of Ethiopia. This official now had gone. He represents her. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet, the Old Testament. And now, so this isn't a different person. Continuing, Luke writes, the Holy Spirit told Philip. The Holy Spirit, being an angelos of the Lord, a messenger of God, told Philip, go to that chariot. Stay near it. So Philip is hearing from God, and that's important. That's the first step. Again, in that quiz, if it was just playing in the background, you probably wouldn't have thought anything of it.
I don't know who we were talking to. Kendra and I were talking to someone just recently. When we first got married, we lived in Dallas, downtown Dallas, Texas. And there were always sounds of the city. There was a hospital. The Baylor University Medical Center was the next block up. So ambulances were going down all the time. And one chirped right outside of our window at like 3 a.m. You know how they just do the bloop thing? We were on the ceiling. But yeah, sounds like that. And then like usually around like, what, 4 a.m., there was a recycling center up part of town, and around 4 a.m. there would be a whole bunch of homeless people with grocery carts full of cans. I don't know why that time, but they would always go by. So there were all these noises. And then we moved to Mifflin County, and the silence was deafening. Like, it was so quiet, it freaked us out. It was just crazy, crazy quiet. And like, everything became a noise. Where before, like, everything just kind of blended in. And so the issue is that when you're listening, you're paying more attention. And so the first step for Philip here was that he was paying attention so that when God spoke, he could hear it. When God spoke, and again, we'll get to this in a moment. This isn't a burning bush. This isn't suddenly an angel from the heavens coming down with light and wings and saying, boom, you. This is God speaking to him. So that's the first thing we see in the study. The second thing you see was positioned by God. So he was heard from God, but then he was positioned by God, because God doesn't do anything accidentally. God doesn't go, oh, I didn't see that coming. God doesn't put something into place and go, oh, okay, I guess I'll work with that from now. God has a plan, and he was positioned there on purpose. So as we continue in the passage in verse 30, it says that Philip ran up to the chariot. And again, we'll come back to, this is kind of an unusual thing, but he goes, he listens to God, and he obeys. So he goes on this road, and then God says, go over to that chariot. So he goes up, he ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip, speaking on behalf of God, he was Philip the evangelist on purpose. He says, do you understand what you're reading? Philip said, well, how can I? He said, I need someone to explain it to me. So this Ethiopian official, this leader, invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And so, like, if you know the story, like, yeah, he gets in and sits with, like, but do you understand that God said, Philip, go to that chariot, which is just, okay. I mean, he could have been like, no, I don't want to go to that chariot. I want to go over here. I want to do my own thing. But he goes to that chariot, and the guy is like, hey, I'm reading the Old Testament, and we'll see what he was reading in just a moment. And says, can you explain it to me? Like, this wasn't an accident. This was God saying, Philip, I want you to obey me because I want to put you in a position where you're not only going to be there and hear this, but you're going to get invited into this guy's chariot to explain the Bible to him. And I just kind of, we'll talk about this in a little bit, I guess, but how often do we know, maybe we know God's telling us to do something, and we're like, here's the reasons why I probably don't need to do that, or I don't know. I mean, I can give you, on Wednesday, I got back from grocery shopping, and I always pull out front. The kids unload the groceries out of the car, and then I drive around to our garage around back in the alley. And at the very end of our street, there was a property that I don't think anyone's been living there for a while. And there was a guy out there mowing it with an electric mower. And the grass was, like, super tall, and I could just watch him. He was like, rah, and then the mower would die. Right. I don't know if you've ever used an electric mower, but the grass needs to be like this tall so that you can mow it like, I don't know. Maybe they're better now. But he just, and I was thinking, man, boy, that guy could use some help. And so I kept driving. and I drove down, pulled into the garage, and I was like, should I go up to that guy? And then I'm like, but the groceries are inside. You know, I got frozen stuff. It's going to melt. I mean, the kids are waiting on me to help them out inside. You know, I've got other things to do. There were things I was planning. And the whole time, I'm literally just kind of fighting whether I should go and see if this guy needs, because I have a gas mower. I mean, it's still like a push mower, but it would do the job. And after kind of going back and forth, I finally was like, okay, maybe I'll just look outside. And I looked outside at the end of the street, and he was just about done. And I just, it was one of those moments, like, was God telling me that I should go there? Maybe he was. And did God have something in store that I missed out on? That I missed out on? It's not changing his plan, but I missed out on something, possibly. And so we always have these excuses. But Philip recognized, you know, God told me to do something, and he obeys. And in that moment, he was in a spot where he didn't even need to do anything. The guy's like, hey, can you tell me about Jesus, essentially? And so And it's just a beautiful story of his willingness, of God's using Philip's willingness to obey. And again, perhaps that's something we need to do. And then that leads to the third part, which is just the beautiful part, is that Philip was used by God, used of God. So he hears from God. So number one, he's listening. That's step one. Number two, he was positioned by God, so he obeyed so that he was in a spot where God had him set up. Like it was literally, you know, a tee ball. The ball was on the tee. The bat was there. All he had to do was hit it. And then he was used by God. And this is what the passage goes on in verse 32. It says that here's the part of scripture the official was reading. And this is in Isaiah. He says, he was led like a sheep to be killed, just as lambs are silent while their wool is being cut off. He did not open his mouth. When he was treated badly, he refused a fair trial. Who can say anything about his children? His life was cut off from the earth. And this is what is called one of the servant songs in Isaiah. This is one of the passages that are about Jesus, and you can probably see that. So it wasn't like he was just reading, I'm just reading the Ten Commandments or some Leviticus law or something like that. He was reading a passage specifically talking about this coming Mashiach, this coming Christ, the Messiah. And it's talking about this coming one is going to be killed. And he's not going to fight back. And so what does this Ethiopian official say? He says to Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? So right here, this guy was like, please, can you tell me about Jesus? And how often are we like, oh, I don't know if I can talk to people about Jesus. I'm not sure I can say the right thing. And we have all these excuses. And maybe God just like, hey, obey, because I'll have them ask you. But again, we make those excuses. So then it goes on and says, then Philip began with that same part of scripture. And he told him the good news, the euangelion, which is good news, or where we get the word evangelism. And we did a whole series called Breaking News, where we talked about the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So he tells them the good news about Jesus. And then it continues on and says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. So not only does this guy listening to Philip, Philip's telling him about Jesus, clearly this guy makes a decision because the official said, look, here is water. Great. No, but it continues and says, what can stop me from being baptized? And so he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the official went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So you've got this moment. You realize we're talking about just a few minutes from God saying, Philip, I want you to go to this road. And maybe depending on how long the trip took for Philip. But he's obeying. He goes, or he's listening. He's obeying. And then here he is sharing the gospel. And the guy's like, yes, I want that. Hey, there's water. Baptize me now. I want to publicly identify myself in front of my Ethiopian entourage, which we'll get to in a little bit, why that's a big deal. And so Philip baptized him. Boom. Like all three pieces right there. Because Philip was willing to listen. Because he was paying attention. Because he was aware of God speaking in his life in that situation. And then, just to catch you up on the little summary of the story, it says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Angelos of God, suddenly took Philip away. And other translations say, we'll say snatched Philip, we'll have taken him, have grabbed him. And the word doesn't mean he suddenly like disappeared and appeared somewhere else. It can mean that, but typically if someone is being removed, it's kind of a violent negative connotation. And so if this was if Philip was suddenly disappeared and appeared somewhere else in that context, it means God would have violently moved him somewhere. I was thinking about this actually yesterday. We've got a picnic table in our backyard and we have this line of ants. I don't know if you've been to our house, but we have a tree growing out of the middle of our picnic table. You're like, no, yeah, it's really a tree growing out of the middle of our picnic table. And this line of ants would come up the tree, go across the picnic table, and then down the one leg. I don't know why that way. And we would fight it and try to stop them from coming. We would point poison around. And eventually then they started going to all these different spots on the table. And we finally just gave in. And we put these little, like, diatomaceous earth. If you put that around the legs, it keeps them from crawling through it. So we put it around three legs and we gave them the fourth. We're like, you win. We'll just not put our picnic stuff on that part of the table. But then yesterday they were all crawling across and I was doing the lawn and mowing the lawn. I had my blower and I'm like, and I went up to the ants and like, zoom, It was great watching. And I was just thinking about that. And I'm like, he's like, I'm just walking here. And suddenly, the next thing I knew, I was snatched away and I was flying somewhere. That's not what Philip, what happened here. This was like that God basically spoke to him again. And the phrase also, the suddenly took away, means Philip obeyed without a hesitation. And he goes on to the next. And if you continue to read this story of Philip in the next chapter, you find him in another town that's right along the route from this Gaza road. So God tells him to leave. And without hesitation, he leaves. He obeys because he's like, God is doing stuff. I'm not even going to hesitate and ask a question now. If God tells me to go, I'm going. And so he finds himself there. So that's kind of Philip's story. He heard from God. He was positioned by God because he obeyed. And then God used him. And again, God wants to use us, but God, we're not going to get in the way of God's plan either. And so there's a privilege we have of like, I'm going to listen to God because God wants to use, here, God wanted to use Philip in the life of this Ethiopian eunuch. And it's just a beautiful moment because of his obedience, because of his willingness to listen. And so now the point probably makes a little more sense. Philip was perfectly positioned by a life of awareness. Because if he wasn't listening, he wouldn't know to go. If he listened but didn't obey, he wouldn't have been in this moment where God could use him in such a powerful, instant way. But God did that. And so the question for us is, and not, maybe it's not for you, maybe it's me, but are you hard of hearing? Like, do you listen to God and do you obey? And again, you might be thinking about this situation going like, oh, I've never had that happen. An angel didn't appear to me. A burning bush didn't happen. Like, how does this work? And I think there are some things that you and I, as normal human beings in the 21st century in America, can take away here and apply to our lives today. And so the question is, or the statement is, well, here's what Philip teaches us about awareness. There are four things that Philip teaches us today about that. And each of these phrases uses the word always. And it's kind of warm. And, we've been all dressed up and doing our superhero thing. And so because we're getting a little tired, I think every time I'm going to have you guys say the word always for me just to help me out, a little yelling with me. Can you guys help me out with that? Ignition guys, you got that too? Can you do some serious yelling? Okay, yeah, yawn. Yeah, I can do that. I get it. We're going to need to yell. Okay, so the first thing that Philip teaches us about awareness is it is all. Sorry, I'm just warming you up. Good. Okay. Is
always
near God. One of the things about it, when it comes to awareness, and we can see in Philip's life, is that he had a connection, a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. And if you're like, well, I never hear God speak, my question is, do you ever listen? Do you have that connection to God where when he speaks, you listen? And again, you're like, was this an audible voice? My answer is, maybe. Like, I'm not here to tell you what that sounds like. It's probably not going to be a burning bush, probably not going to be an angel. But there might be those moments where you're like, you know what? I think this is what God wants me to do. And the only way you're going to hear that is if you have a close connection, if you're near to God. And in Acts chapter 6, as we looked at a little bit earlier, we saw that when these women were being overlooked for the food, the apostles said, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the Spirit. So Philip wasn't chosen just because he was a nice guy or he had good organizational skills. He was chosen because the people could see that he was full of the Spirit. He was close to God. He was following God. And so again, they chose these guys, including Philip. And so we know that he had a relationship with Jesus that was deep. And if you want to hear from God, you have to start there. You can't be like, well, I'm not going to talk to you. Well, I mean, let's be honest. Now, there is technology. I understand we have cell phones. We have them these days. But like, if you and I don't talk, you can never hear from me. Okay, this is very basic. If I don't talk to you, you will never hear from me. We get that? And the way you learn, you get to hear from people is if you talk. And That's called communication. And I say, hi, how was your day? And you say, my day was good. Woo. Now there's hearing there. There's communication. But if I don't talk to you, if you don't talk to me, there's no way we're going to be able to hear. And it's the same thing with our relationship with Jesus. If you're not connected with him, if you're not talking with him, if you're not reading his word, if you're not in prayer, if you're kind of in that moment of worshiping and saying, God, I want to be closer to you, you're never going to hear from him because you're not near him. And in Romans chapter 12, Paul says it this way. And you're super familiar with this passage. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice. Paul is saying, give God your life. Give him your life. Give him, just say, God, you're mine. Or, I'm yours. He says, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Like other people, like, oh, here's how you get close to God. Here's seven quick tips. No, Paul's like, no, don't do any of that. He says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. He says, when you are close to God, when you are offering God everything and say, God, I'm here. I want to grow in you. I want to spend time with you. I want to learn from you. I want to study your word. I want to communicate all of these things. Paul then says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So if you want to hear from God, you need to give yourself to God, and then you're going to know God's will. And I wrote here, I didn't mean it for this to sound this way, and then I wrote it, I'm like, it's kind of dumb. But in order to hear from God, you need to be near to God. Like, that's the truth. And one of the things I've said for years, even all the way back to my youth ministry years, when it comes to this idea of God's will, when you are who God wants you to be, you will do what God wants you to do. The more you become like Jesus, the more you're going to be aware of those moments that before you might have just blown it off, but you're like, no, I think God wants me to talk to them. No, I think God wants me to stop and help them. No, I think the more you're like God, the more you're like Jesus, the more you're going to hear and understand and do what he wants you to do. And so what Philip teaches about awareness is that, number one, it is near God. The second thing Philip teaches us is that it won't make sense. So you don't have to repeat this, okay? It is always about nearness to God, but it won't always make sense. Because there are some times where God's going to tell you to do things that don't always make sense, and I want to... This is just really cool because I learned a lot this week just studying this passage. But Philip, this story doesn't make sense for him. And so a couple of things. It says the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and says, go south to the desert road. The road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a road that no one would normally go down. Like not, at least not a good Jewish person like Philip. Because it's going to Gaza, which is heading towards a non-Jewish people, heathen, godless culture, heading down that way. And it was in the middle of the desert. And here's a map here from the story series years ago. And my little... it doesn't work on the screen. Okay, so... just south of the letter E in Judea, kind of out there, that's the desert of Sinai. Out in that whole area is desert. And God tells Philip, I want you to go to this road that's going away from where God's people are and heading out into the middle of nowhere. And again, if that was your story, if that was my story, maybe not your story, I would be like, you know what? That looks uncomfortable and barren and hot, and I'm not going to really go because I need to be here. But it didn't make sense for him to go down there. But it says, as we can go back to the passage, it says, so Philip started out. And it says, on the way he met an Ethiopian official. And this is kind of wild, too. This Ethiopian, first of all, was a godless culture. They weren't Jewish people. And so that's one thing. Like, why would I want to go? Why would God send me to these people, to this guy? And this official, in some of your translations, it'll say eunuch. And so the word eunuch means that a castrated male. And we'll just stop right there with that. But that's the title of what a eunuch was. And the reason they were like this and why they ended up being officials is because a king or a queen could trust a high-ranking official among the queen's court without having to worry about him doing inappropriate queenly things because he couldn't. So they were... the eunuchs ended up being high officials in the kingdoms because there's a lot less risk there. and so he was considered a eunuch. Now, some discuss whether that title has come to evolve so much that maybe he wasn't actually physically a eunuch, but it just carried the title because it came known as people that were high officials. But regardless, if he was known as this, and Philip probably wasn't checking, he would not, this guy would be considered unclean in Jewish circles because someone like that wasn't welcome at the temple. And so here's this guy, and he's in charge of all this with this Ethiopian, and didn't make sense for him to go, and yet Philip goes and obeys. So it was a non-Jewish area in the desert to a godless Ethiopian culture to a eunuch. Like, all of those things didn't make sense according to the world's model, but God told him to go, so he went. And so over in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul kind of clarifies this. He says, stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by the world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. Why? Because the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And if we start thinking about, like, well, this doesn't really make sense, clearly God doesn't want me to do that because that might cost me some money. It might cost me some time. It might change something that I have to do differently. But that doesn't mean it's not God leading you. Sometimes what God says doesn't always make sense. So let's kind of go through these again so far. So first of all, Philip teaches about awareness. It is near God. It won't make sense. And it will. It will be biblical. And here's kind of the other reverse of that. Like, God's not going to tell you to sin. And I don't have too much time here. So in Acts 8:30, we do see that this guy is reading Isaiah the prophet. He's doing something that's good, even though from a outward view, it might seem like I shouldn't be here. Philip might think I shouldn't be here. But God, he was obviously doing something that God was going to use. And how often do we, well, let me just put it this way. God will never, never, never tell you. To do something that's sinful. God will never tell you to do something that's sinful. He's never going to do anything that denies his character or violates his character. And so, despite the Jewish rules, that wasn't violating God's character. This guy was actually on his way, obviously, to turning his heart over to Jesus. And so, we actually talked about this in the Crop 3 series just a few months ago, about the idea of God told me. God is never going to tell you to do something that's sin. God is never going to tell you, you know, to leave your wife. God is never going to tell you to cheat on your tests. God is never going to tell you, you know, to go get drunk. God is never going to tell you to steal a car. Like, God isn't going to tell you those things because that violates his character. And James clarifies this for us in James chapter 1. He says, and remember, when you're being tempted, do not say God is tempting me, because God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. And James says, the reason we're tempted is because we're sinners. Because it's coming from within. It's not coming from God. And so God is never going to tell you to do something that is wrong, that is unbiblical, that is sin. And so if it's sin, it's not from God. Which, again, now you're looking at some ways to, how are we aware of what God is doing? Well, it comes down to these things. Why don't we hit the slide there? The first thing is that is... Let me go to the next slide. Let's start over. What Philip teaches about awareness is
always
near God, won't
always
make sense, will
always
be biblical, and God
always
plans it. And I think that's the other thing. And we sang a bunch of songs this morning about God's timing and trusting God's plan. And even if it doesn't make sense, and even if it requires some inconvenience, God's always, he's got a plan. And so if God is leading you to do something and it's not sin, and maybe it doesn't even make sense, and you obey, you can trust that God has a plan. And of course, in Acts chapter 8, we saw in verse 34, the official says to Philip, tell me, who is this guy talking about? Is it himself, someone else? And then he says, here's water, what can stop me from being baptized? I mean, God had this thing all set up. All Philip needed to do was obey. And God has a plan for our lives, too. And when he asks you, tells you to do something, it's because he's got a plan. There's something in mind there. And Jesus says this in John chapter 4. He says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. And he says, of course, you know. He says, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. Because we look at things from a human perspective and we think, oh, I'm not going to go talk to them because they were mean to me before. But maybe God's got them ready. And you need to obey. You need to be aware of him. Listen to what he says and obey and talk to this person. And that guy, sort of like the Ethiopian eunuch, he was ready. He was ripe for harvest. Someone just needed to come and pull the fruit. And then over in Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, do not let us become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that's also this, like God's telling me to do this and it feels like I'm not getting anywhere. If God's telling you, you do it. You keep doing it. Don't give up because God's got a plan and his timing is perfect. So that's the summary of what we can learn from Philip about awareness. Here we go again. What we learn is that it is near God. It won't make sense. It will be biblical and God plans it. Yeah, Philip was perfectly positioned by a life of awareness. And that's just a quick overview of like, what does it look like to listen to God? You need to be close to him. And then as he says something, if it's not sin, maybe you just need to obey. And maybe God is going to use you in the life of someone in an incredible way that you never would have expected. Simply by being aware of God's voice in your life, of God speaking to you. And he's positioning you exactly where he wants you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Philip and this hero who began a whole new movement for the church, taking the gospel outside of the Jewish walls, outside of the circle of Jewish people. And as I didn't mention, this Ethiopian eunuch became the first non-Jewish person to openly receive the gospel in the Bible. This non-Jewish person to become the first Christ follower. And I just thank you for Philip's awareness of you. And I pray that you would help us to be aware of you speaking. And, of course, we get there by having a deeper, more intimate relationship with you. Help us to cultivate that relationship so that when you speak, we can hear. And, God, I pray that when you speak and when we hear, that we obey. Because we know that even if it doesn't make sense, there's a plan behind it. And I pray that we would trust you and we would trust that plan and obey and watch you work and use us in the lives of other people. And God, we might not even see, as Philip was able to see, we might not even see what you're doing through us. But help us to obey anyway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.